I don't. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The word of God comes today from John 21, and the title that appears in my book is Breakfast on the Beach and a Miraculous Catch of Fish. So we are still going through the stories after Jesus' resurrection and before he ascends back into heaven. So I'm going to start reading from actually the end of John 20, because that feels like that verse could be or should be included with John 21. And it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So these words, this book of John is written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. And Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So these stories are told that we might have full lives, abundant lives. And it's harder these days to live into that, but that is the purpose. That is what is open to us through Jesus. And it also includes eternal life, not just full lives here on earth, but that we might look forward to eternal life. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the challenge for us these days, right, and like I said, sometimes it feels like we're trying to do it through, you know, in the fog or through a cloud or in the darkness. But our challenge is for us to continue to seek to live full lives here on earth, even as we remember our heavenly and eternal future. Now moving on to the story that I mentioned in John 21, the story of Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. The disciples, as we have read a couple times now, spent a lot of time together after the death and resurrection of Jesus. They tried to make sense of what happened. We read the story about the two on the road to Emmaus, and we read about the story of Jesus appearing to people as they were gathered in different rooms, and how he appeared to Thomas, who doubted him. They spent a lot of time together. They were kind of just waiting, right? Waiting for Jesus to appear. They were waiting for instructions. And among all of them, the most unsettled was Peter. And personality-wise, it seemed like he was the one who needed to be most active. He was the one who was the most impetuous. He was the one who was used to doing stuff. But he also was carrying the guilt of denying Christ, and that was eating at him too. This sitting around was driving him crazy. So he decides to go back and do what he knows, fishing. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. We don't have anything better to do, and maybe it will distract us. So they went out and they got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing, nothing, all night, nothing, not one little fish. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the number of large fish. And slowly it dawns on them, like deja vu, this has happened to us before. Wait. Then the disciples who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and he jumped into the water. The one who most needed to see Jesus didn't wait for the boat to get to the shore, but he jumped off into the water to get there faster. He needed to move towards Jesus in any way, shape, or form. And I love that image, to be so eager to be with Jesus that we jump off the boat and start swimming towards him. The other disciples, the Bible says, they followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus already had fish. Jesus already has what we need. He already had the fish on the coals cooking. He already had the bread. He had already prepared the breakfast. Jesus, the gracious host, was ready. Jesus, the gracious and loving host, is always ready to receive us. But he does ask us still to bring our part. Like Jake mentioned earlier today, God includes everyone. God is already inclusive, but he also expects us to bring our part. And so Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So we bring what Jesus has given us. We bring our willingness to come. We bring whatever it is that we have in our hands with us. Verse 11 says, So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to him, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And Jesus said to them on that morning, come and have breakfast. And Jesus took the bread and he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. A little different version than communion than we're used to. But they sat and they ate breakfast with Jesus on the beach. And I imagine they talked about fishing all night and catching nothing and how discouraged they were. And they laughed and they talked about how Jesus, they suggested they put the net on the other side, the right side of the boat. What a crazy idea. It's not like the right side of the boat is that far from the other side. But that they did. They trusted him. They obeyed Jesus. And they threw the net in another time on the other side. And then how there were so many fish. So many. And their nets didn't even break. And maybe Jesus, during the breakfast time, reminded them that he had called them to be fishers of men. And maybe they complained about all this waiting that they had to do. And they asked him, you know, well, what do you want us to do? What are we supposed to be doing? And maybe they asked what the plans were for going forward. Maybe he just encouraged them to wait for the next instruction. Maybe he reminded them about how the Holy Spirit was coming, that the Comforter he had talked about, the Spirit of Truth that he was going to send. Maybe they asked questions about that too. And maybe they spent a long time there at breakfast, just enjoying the food and enjoying the company and enjoying Jesus' hospitality. And we know from the Bible that Jesus knows a lot about hospitality. He came into the world dependent on the hospitality of others. He was born in a borrowed manger, and he was buried in a donated tomb. And Jesus was always going into people's homes, and his healings and his teachings often happened around a dinner table or in a living room. And Jesus also hosted people. He broke bread and he served wine. And on this morning, he served fish. Jesus brought people to the table with God. And hospitality has always been one of the marks of the church. The early church, people ate together and they met in each other's homes. And we know that Jesus sent out the disciples. When he sent out the 72, he sent them out with nothing. No money, no extra clothes, no provisions. It wasn't because Jesus wanted them to suffer, but it was because they were supposed to rely on the hospitality of others. And so not only did they practice hospitality, but they were to depend on it. There was no us and them. There was a we. There was no us and them. There was a we together. And so this morning, I just want to extend a couple invitations that I heard from this story of the breakfast on the beach. One is one that we have heard a couple times already. The invitation from Revelation 3:20. And this is a personal invitation. This is an invitation, especially during this time, to open the door. When you hear Jesus standing at the door knocking, when you feel that pull to spend time alone, to walk in nature, to read your Bible, to pray, the invitation is to open the door. Open the door. Jesus will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with him. And just like the breakfast on the beach, you spend time. Jesus says, I'll come to the beach to meet with you. I'll go to the mountains. I'll go to your back porch. I'll go to your living room or your breakfast table. I'll come to your weeping place. I'll come to your laughing place. I'll come in through the clouds of your depression, but I will come in. I will be with you if you open the door to me, if you turn to me, if you jump out of the boat and swim to me. I will meet with you. I will eat with you. I will spend time with you. And that invitation is for each of us. And it's so absolutely necessary in these days. We have to have time with Jesus. The waiting and the uncertainty that was true for the disciples is true for us. We are in uncertain times, but the invitation is stronger than ever, and we need it more than ever to spend time with Jesus. The second and third invitations I heard in this story are for us together. First invitation is to throw your nets on the right side of the boat. It feels like as a congregation, we have done all that we can to catch fish. We do all that we can, that we can think of, right? That's within our ability to be a witness, to show love, to minister to others. And Jesus wants us to continue to do those things. He wants us to continue to fish. But he also wants us to obey him. So I'm inviting us, feel like God's inviting us to listen. And so then when Jesus says that we should cast our nets on the right side, we not understand what that means yet, but let's be ready to obey. Let's be ready to try new things as they come. Even during and especially during this pandemic, God is working his purposes out, and we want to be ready to be part of God's work. When we feel like we're getting nowhere, Jesus will come and he'll say, throw the net on the other side. Do this, try that. And we need to be ready to obey it, even though it might not make a lot of sense to us at the time. And the third invitation has to do with hospitality. And just like the early church, that in the description in Acts 2, we are a fellowship of believers who have a heart and a commitment to hospitality. And I think we do hospitality really well. When people come to our church, I think they feel welcomed. We do well in planning for gatherings and being generous with food, where we can be organized. There's lots of things that we do well around hospitality. The rules of hospitality have changed in some ways, right? We can't meet together in person. We can't serve coffee and goodies. We can't invite each other into our homes, and we and we can't sit down and have a meal together in the fellowship hall. But we can be like the early church was. We can be devoted to the reading of God's word and prayer. We can join together in the ways that we're able to. We can share and be in all of the wonders of God. We can continue to share all the things that God's doing in our lives. We can continue to share the needs that we have. We can be together in groups of two or three over the phone. We can join in Zoom groups. We can talk with each other from 6 feet away. We can share our resources, and we can look to help those who are in need. We can praise God through text and Facebook and email. The rules for hospitality have changed, but our creativity in the Lord will not. And I think we can continue to think of ways that we can be hospitable to each other. The ways that we've been sending cards to people on their birthdays. I can't remember the last time I got so many cards. And I think Kim mentioned too that she got cards, her condolence cards. We're not used to doing that anymore. Some of us, I confess, I'm not that used to doing that anymore. But we've been doing it more because it's more important, right, to do that more than ever. And I know that May continues to send things out to people. That's our hospitality these days, right? And I'm sure that we can come up with new and different ways of being hospitable as we accept that invitation from God. Just want to end with just a word, just to say that, again, what we mentioned at the beginning of the service, that it does seem like this pandemic is turning into a marathon rather than a sprint. So let's adjust our expectations. Let's continue to put our trust in God. Let's have breakfast at the beach with Jesus. Let's allow him into our lives in new and fresh ways. And let's allow his hospitality and provision fill us up, fill our cups up, so that we can go fishing and do the things that help us cope and live fully. Let's also be ready to throw our nets into the right side when Jesus tells us to try new things, to try things that maybe don't make sense to us. And let's always be hospitable, welcoming, and loving. Do you have something today that you would like to add to this message? If you're a fisherman, maybe you have some fisherman insights that I'm calling us to do in the area of hospitality. Something that would be...
I have to say that I liked the little YouTube video you sent. That was super cute, and I watched it yesterday. And first of all, I liked the guy because he had the English brogue, and he kept saying the word amazing. Isn't it amazing how God did this? And it was amazing how, you know, and it was amazing they saw Jesus, and it was amazing. And instantly I thought of my favorite hymn song is, you know, Amazing Grace. So I thought that was the neatest thing. And for hospitality, I'm going to share with you that, thanks to Linda, who cooked us a meal, after Paul's mom's funeral on Monday, he said, the other day, he goes, I have never had someone do that for me. Never. From anyone in a church. Never had someone give me a meal. And that just really touched his heart. So thank you so much, Linda. He enjoyed it immensely. That's hospitality. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think in the end, you know, it is amazing. And I guess we just have to keep our eye on the, you know, on Jesus through all of this.
Yep, and that was an adjustment, right? We're used to, and this is the suggestion came from May. She wanted to, she wanted to provide a meal at the fellowship hall, but that's what we do. We provide a meal for the family at the end, and we talked about it, and we just decided that that wasn't going to work at this time. So this was an adjustment that we made in hospitality. And it still was hospitality, and it was received as the gift of hospitality and love that it was. So thank you, Kim, for sharing that. Thank you, May and Linda.
Yes. He was really just blown away. He was just like, I've never had someone do that for me.
Our team at The Virtus is so thankful for the snacks that you all had sent. So to kind of supplement Kim, a meal, even with Jesus and that breakfast at the beach, the food is such a gift and it's so nourishing. And so we're very thankful for the granola bars, especially.
We can do that again, right?
We can.
Thank you, Jen, for sharing that.
Sure.
I heard May's chime go, so but we're following the chime of the spirit, right? So well, then let's sing our song of response. And I don't know if Sandra has something else she's going to say at the end or not. Okay.
Everything, praise the Lord. In the working, in the waiting, praise the Lord. In the blessing, in the breaking, praise the Lord. Let it be praise the Lord, to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go in peace. Have a good week. Tuesday night Bible study, Friday lunch bunch, and get some sunshine while we can today before it rains again, and have a great week.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.